Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Rolling. Nima.
Yo.
Nima V. It's
Michael
that's
Dean.
It's Michael Dean. How you doing?
Great. I'm doing well.
Today's episode is called I was only following executive orders, which is something that it says.
Which is the worst kind of order.
It is. And it's the image we're using today. And it's for the, today's the State of the Union speech where the liar in chief is going to get up and lie and promise that America's better than ever and he's creating jobs and protecting kids and he's going to have Gabby Giffords there and he's going to have some other victim of gun violence there and some 108-year-old voter. How does that like make me feel better? Yeah, 108-year-olds like him because they can get him to steal for him.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think it should be called State of the Union. It's more like State statist. Of the lie or state of the statist or
state of the
story.
Statist. Yeah. There oh, that'd go. Be good. Yeah. State of the statist. I like that. Yes.
Yeah, man. It's so square though. And I don't think I've watched one in years. I think the last time I watched one was probably
was
just
Clinton,
in passing.
And you wrote a great glowing term paper about him. I'll never let you live that down. Like DJ will never let me live down saying, well, I don't care if they bug my phone and tap my email. I have nothing to hide.
Like well, seven, nobody's perfect, ago. And we're not claiming to be, so I think that that's the point. And I'm cool with you bringing it up, because, hey,
We do recover.
We do recover, yeah. We can recover from statism. It's
the
possible.
Lie is dead. We do recover.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
The cat is against the wall. The worm has a long mustache. That's been really caught on with our fans.
The worm has a long mustache.
Yeah. Do you like Red Dawn?
Yeah, I did. I don't know. I had trouble at the very beginning suspending my disbelief. But at the end of it, I was like, well, you know, more than anything, it's a parable and it's a story. And I think it's great if you can draw the parallels between what these guys, these Americans from Spokane who are fighting back are experiencing and draw the parallel between that's what people in like Afghanistan and Iraq, that's what they feel like when all of a sudden these goons show up in
and drones.
In drones. Well, that was one thing I felt was missing from Red Dawn, was there was no drones or scary air
Well, they
power.
Started making it about 4 years ago, and drones weren't that big of a thing yet. Obama has made drone jobs. He's made jobs for drone manufacturers and operators.
Right. But when you watch Red Dawn, just keep that in mind. Keep in mind, that's how you feel when you live in Iraq, and all of a sudden, you have a bunch of foreigners with giant guns and decked out in their military uniforms and tanks, and you have to go through checkpoints, because I felt like they did draw some inspiration, the makers of Red Dawn, because there were checkpoints, and it looked almost like that footage you see of Iraqis and even Palestinians going through Israeli checkpoints. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, or the random checkpoints they set up on the highway now or at the Super Bowl or everywhere.
I haven't had the displeasure of experiencing those. Those seem to be mostly in the eastern states. Like I feel
I thought
like
they had them in Texas.
They maybe have had some DUI checkpoints, but I've never seen one. I mean, I've heard tales.
Down nearer to the border, they have checkpoints. That was our friend right. Jillian was a border patrol checkpoint. And
that's
I
true.
Still think they were being racist because, I don't think she's Hispanic, but she had, you know, wears big red lipstick, lots of red lipstick and has long, big black hair and she's beautiful.
Lots
and,
of eyeshadow.
You know, could could, well, she looks more like a Hispanic woman than the Hispanic women shot by LAPD looked like the big black man that they were looking for.
Right. Yeah.
I saw a picture. Did you see that picture was going around of some big black dude in LA shopping in a grocery store with a homemade t-shirt?
With a shirt,
said,
yeah.
Not Christopher Dorner, please don't shoot.
Yeah, but I enjoyed more thoroughly the picture of Dorner and LL Cool J side by side because they look almost like doppelgangers of each other.
Yeah, the celebrity worship and marshalling of it by the liar in chief is really disgusting, especially the Chris Rock thing, man. I can never hear that guy again. I can never ever hear him again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, I gave him a pass when he was... He literally did. And I gave him a pass because he said some status things before, like his whole thing about bullets.
Like bullets should cost $5,000 each. Yeah. They're working on it.
Which is gun control and price control all loaded into one horrible package of status joke.
It's communism. It's not even socialism.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, he had some comment. Should we read it on the air or have people already heard it?
Sure. They've already heard it. He basically said the state is your – he said that – that the president and the first lady are the president's your boss and the president and the first lady are like your dad and mom and you should do what they say. And then there's all these great memes going around of like Michelle Obama with a baby that's Chris Rock with sticking a bottle in his hand, in his mouth. And, Obama following or has Chris Rock on one of those leashes they have for babies with the body harness. You know, there was no point in my life, no matter how statist I was, where I wouldn't have balked at someone saying the president and first lady are your mom and dad and you should do what they say. Probably that probably says less about my lack of statism at the time and more about my parent issues. But
well, what I hated the most about it is he also said something like, you know, sometimes you don't listen to daddy or whatever, but it always comes back to bite you in the ass,
which means he'll kill you if you don't do what he says to me.
Well,
that's what I think.
I see that in maybe private life. If you don't take the advice of somebody you trust and respect, maybe they were right, maybe, and then it'll come back to bite you in your own life because of the consequences. But yeah, when you think of the president, you think of the feds and law enforcement. And I just think of Riley realizing in Boondocks in the Obama, Dick Riding Obama episode when he's like, plus I heard Obama a fed. Because that's what he is, man. Yeah. Obama isn't your daddy. Obama is the top DEA agent.
Well, if your dad gives you some good advice and you ignore it, it probably will personally bite you in the ass. If the president tells you to do something and you ignore it, he's going to do it anyway because it's going to be about something he wants to do and he wants you to do and he wants to force you to do.
Yep.
It's different than your dad giving you advice and you ignoring it.
Because
the way it'll bite you in the ass isn't that it won't. He'll do it anyway. It'll, you know, whatever it is, if you don't vote for it, he'll do it anyway. And it'll bite you in the ass because president wants to kill you for having guns, basically. And there's the image we use today is by this great Christian patriot artist named Dale Toons is the name of his site, and I'll link it. It's amazing to me how much we agree with Christian constitutionalists, mainly on what we don't like.
Right. Well, I can see that, and it is amazing, but it makes sense because I think the similarities are that they don't put the state on the pedestal above all like statists do. They put God on the pedestal, and they don't conflate God with the state like some religious.
But they want to, a lot of, you know, if they're patriots, they want to fix the state, which means I don't even know what that means because they want to go back to a time when things are good. And
that time didn't really exist.
It didn't exist because, you know, I mean, if you take it back to, you know, if you ignore the fact that Hamilton put weasel words in the Constitution to allow for unlimited theft and growth and tyranny of the federal government, you know, let's say you take it back to the 10th Amendment, you know, nothing after the Bill of Rights. Well, then you still like slaves and killing Indians. I mean, well, for starters, you know, there's no time it was good.
Yeah.
It's kind of selective memory how when, like, you know, abused wives who are contemplating leaving their husband and can't remember.
They think about that time he bought you flowers or chocolates or had a romantic evening.
Yeah, and they forget that, you know, he gave you a black eye the night before and he was apologizing for it to get his way with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true.
So I have a statement for CIA operatives that are trying to get in my head. Boy, that sounded paranoid, didn't it? But it's based on something.
A little bit Dale Gribble, yeah, but that's okay.
So we got an email, or I got an email. Did you get a copy of this email? It was from someone who we'd never heard from before, who was coming off as a, well, they sent us a fake lawyer letter that was a joke that said that they were the representatives of the site dadspam.com and it was a cease and desist.
It was pretty funny, actually.
To stop using that. Yeah, it was pretty funny. You know, for about a quarter second of reading it, I was like, ugh, this is real. And then I was like, okay, this is this is fake. It's obviously fake and it's a joke. Yeah. The thing I'd like to say, though, if you want to be our friend, or at least my friend, don't start off by pretending to be an arm of the state. You know, I mean, if you did that to me, or Ben did that to me, or even fiends that we talked to a bunch of times did that to me, I'd know it was a joke and it'd be funny, but it's not.
You're saying it's not first date behavior.
It's not good first date behavior. Okay. But it goes for, and I wrote the guy back and was like, hey, good one. You got me. I was about to start writing you a fake lawyer letter if you response, in legalese, but then I realized it was fake. And then I sent that, and then I was kind of like, there's something off about this. So I searched the guy's email on Google. I'm not going to say his name or his email address, but because it may have been a well-meaning fan, but it showed up on this list of emails from anonymous hacking this organization called Stratfor, S-T-R-A-T-F-O-R.
Right.
Stratfor are sort of a RAND Corporation type, you know, like private think tank analysis threat management, Middle Eastern think tank that operates other places too and analyzes America. And they have been called the shadow CIA. Now, how screwed up is that?
Yeah.
This guy's email, his exact weird personal email, showed up on the list of what Anonymous had found when they'd hacked Stratford's client list.
Stratfor.
Huh.
Hmm. Well, now, maybe he was a former think tanker who's seen the light. That's
possible. Or maybe he works for, you know, the ACLU or some libertarian equivalent and subscribes to Stratfor's newsletter to, you know, keep an eye on him. I don't know, but it was really creepy. So, you know, to anyone out there who is the central scrutinizer, try a little harder to cover your tracks. If that wasn't the central scrutinizer, to anybody who wants to be my buddy, don't start off pretending to be the state. and then have me find information that may back it up.
Michael News you can use.
Yeah, I'm telling people how to better spy on me and gain my trust to
of
hurt
course.
Me.
Either or. Yeah.
We need someone to make IMMDB.com, Internet Movie Microphone Database.
Why?
Because there's an Internet Movie Firearms Database.
Mainly
what I look for, you know, I mean, obviously I look at hot chicks, but my idea of hot chicks is different than Hollywood's. But, you know, other than that, a good plot, good dialogue, I basically look at the firearms and the microphones. And often I don't know what the microphones are.
Okay. Well, could be a project for you.
Nah.
Too busy.
Yeah, and I think IMDb seized IMMDB.com because IMMDb, Internet Movie Firearms Database, IMMDB, because now they're using the .org. So I don't want to mess with getting seized and do a bunch of free work that would only entertain me. Someone else
seizing
wants to do it, fine.
Websites. Should we talk about that? That's a hot topic lately, isn't it?
Well, CISPA's coming back, isn't it?
Supposedly the president wants to do it by other means, I guess, executive action he means. He wants to bypass Congress just do it anyway because it's just too important, Michael. It's just too damn important.
And then there's the Ron Paul trying to seize stuff. And we're going to talk about that later. I think Ben Quaker is going to call in, hopefully. If not, we'll just talk about him and make fun of him.
Make fun of him. No, I'm on Ben's side on this one. Although you were right that he was a little bit angry, but
I'm
like
on Ben's
ben
side
angry.
Too. You didn't get that. That's part of why I wanted to talk to you so badly yesterday. Was you did not fucking get what I was saying, and I was I cussed. I'm sorry. You did not freaking get what I was saying, and you know, I wanted to straighten it out. And rather than send you an email and have you I got drunk yesterday. On watching Alex Jones, and it went to my head. And I needed to talk to my friend, and I couldn't get you or Ben on the phone. It's frustrating.
We're sorry.
So, yeah. But this fake, like, cease and desist lawyer thing came before the Ron Paul thing broke, so it wasn't making fun of that or copying that.
Right. I was just trying to seg, but that's okay. If you've got other plans, but you want to wait till Ben calls so Ben can be in on the action.
Well, cool. If we're going to go, if you had a lot more to say about CISPA, go ahead. But if it was just leading to a seg about Ben or about Ron Paul.
Well, not necessarily about CISPA, but about the president. I think he's going to get a lot friskier with his executive orders. And
absolutely.
I did read an opinion piece as to that effect. And this is one example. I mean, another example is, of course, the 23 executive actions, which are different than orders, but because I think they were all consolidated.
Well, but we know that executive action is a CIA code word for assassinations, too. Look it up, people. Look it up.
Right. But either way, it's something the president is doing on his own unilaterally, or at least the executive branch is doing, without sanction of Congress or even the courts, although I guess the courts don't get any kind of prior restraint over that. They can supposedly declare something unconstitutional after the fact if somebody is hurt personally by it. And by the way, it has to be really, really personal now is the test. You know Anwar al-Awlaki, the American who got drone bombed, the American
not
citizen?
Personally.
Not personally. Well, that's good because then he might get droned. But his dad, I think it was his dad or some member of his immediate family, was trying to sue the government before he was killed because the government let it be known that they were trying to kill Anwar al-Awlaki and that they planned to kill him.
They leaked their kill list because they were so turgid with libido dominandi that a little bit squirted out the end.
Libido dominandi.
You know, some of it got out.
There, exactly. It was pre-cum.
Pre-cum kill list.
It was pre-kill. But,
pre-kill, yeah.
Yeah, his dad tried to bring the suit, and the court said, you're not close enough. You're not as personally affected
to bring the suit. Do you think Obama wakes up with murder morning wood? Morning wood? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he does. Ugh. Yeah, it just makes me shiver and shake in a bad way, man. But yeah, I mean, I guess we've said this too, that, you know, second term, man, that's when people really get frisky. And I think Obama's raring
frisky.
To go.
It makes it sound so pleasant. It's not, but it's a cute word. But frisky for murder. Frisky for, you know, I mean, the Alex Jones theory is basically that there is a shadow globalist government that is trying to force everyone in the world into poverty and steal all the resources, and that the United States and Switzerland are the last two countries they haven't really done it to because people are still armed. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
I
like
guess
to
my
go that.
Thing is, who cares if it's in the shadows or not, man? The in the daylight government is so horrible and murderous that we could just focus our intention on that.
I don't care
what's behind them. I'm caring what they're doing.
I heard an awesome fake transparency thing. The World Bank started last year or the year before releasing financial statements. You know, their doctored up financial statements. They started releasing them. Creative Commons license, and they won an award from some internet transparency group for releasing this, you know, this handpicked information under a Creative Commons license.
Right. Like, here's what you can look at. Here's what we want you to see.
And we want you to spread it without paying anybody. Do it.
Of
Go
course,
ahead.
Of course we do. Yeah. Huh. I guess that's clever marketing on the World Bank or the IMF's part. Who did you say it was? World Bank or IMF? I guess
it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, Obama wants to kill you with a drone if you don't like him, basically.
Yeah. Well, I don't like him. Yeah, he wants to. If you have a YouTube video, if you have a YouTube channel that's critical of American foreign policy, watch out. Could be droned, man. Speaking of Red Dawn, well, I guess we weren't speaking of it, but we spoke of it earlier. And speaking of drones, you know, that was one thing I found conspicuously missing was the drones, because I feel like the Wolverines would be in a lot worse shape if – because, like, the prefect or whoever was in charge, the North Korean guy.
Yeah, he would find him with drones. I mean
– he would find him in, like, a week or two or a day or two.
Go ahead.
Well, that scene when they found the house, so they were in front of the original safe house that the Wolverines were staying in, and they come out, and they've got a couple of the Wolverine's dads there, and the general or whoever it is, the colonel, whoever's in charge, he kind of thinks that they're watching them from afar, you know, in the woods somewhere looking at the house. And so he has their dad say stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, if that were the Americans, they wouldn't send a high-ranking guy out there. They would just have satellite or drone surveillance, and they would see their heat signatures to know that they were there.
I really liked how that movie, I've never really seen a movie that's a remake that does such a good job of being true to the original plot without being a scene by scene remake.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
really
true.
Good at that. Speaking of movies, do you know why Pirate Radio is called Pirate Radio?
I do because you told me, and I'm going to pretend like I don't know so that you can tell me again.
Do you know why,
I don't know, Michael?
because in the 60s in Britain, people did pirate radio off of ships in international waters.
Bam! They were freaking real pirates. That's awesome. Except instead of cannons, they had radio waves.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people that do file sharing really don't like the word pirate. I just want to recommend the movie Pirate Radio with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Really good movie. And it was the non-American title is called The Boat That Rocked. Mm. And there's a really amazing lesson in the first scene about the market, which is that there's text on screen that has a fact that I didn't know. I looked it up. In the 60s, in the late, 65 to 68 or whatever, which was like the greatest era of British rock and roll, the BBC was playing less than a half hour of rock music a day. And there were a bunch of ships broadcasting really high power 24/7 from international waters, covering all of England and beyond. And there were like half of England was listening to it.
Nice. So,
and the whole movie has a lot about, the government trying to shut them down. The government's the bad guy in this.
Right.
And, I mean, they even say that there's a line in it. One of the parliament guys says to his underling, whose name is Twat, Mr. Twat, T-W-A-T-T. He says, well, that's the great thing about being in the government. If there's something you don't like, you just make up a law to make it go away.
honest.
But that's it doesn't go away. I know. Yeah. I know.
Wow. Well, that's a sign of a movie I will trust. Like, I won't even watch or continue to watch a movie or show if I start to find out that the bad guy is anybody other than the state and or the state is the good guy.
Well,
because
the hero does quote Abe Lincoln as a model at one point of who he wants to be like. But that was forgivable.
Like
that was the only thing.
I feel like there's more confusion about who Abe Lincoln was amongst people in other countries than there is even in America. I don't know. That's just a personal anecdote. I don't know if that's true. I haven't seen a study.
I think it is. I think it is because
I have an uncle who I was speaking with once from Iran, and he doesn't speak much English, but a little bit, and I speak a little bit of Farsi, so we were able to get by and have a pseudo conversation. But he was telling me about Lincoln and how much he respected him because he ended slavery and how great of a thing it was that slavery was ended. And I was like, I guess all I could say to that was, yes, slavery should have ended or something like that.
Yeah, Lincoln is the guy.
I didn't want to be like, you're wrong, because Lincoln was a murderer.
Lincoln killed more Americans than Hitler what's the term for when you have one agenda but you present another? Something washing. Policy washing, I think it was good. Policy laundering. He was policy laundering. He just wanted to control the South, and that was the way to do it. And, I feel like Obama is engaging in ethnic cleansing, and that's a really bold statement. But ethnic
cleansing statement.
Yeah, ethnic cleansing isn't always about races. It's often along religious lines, and I really believe that Obama's followers are religious about him, and he's going to war with gun owners, and gun owners are religious about guns. So I do maintain that there's going to be some ethnic cleansing happening here.
Wouldn't it be ideological cleansing, though? I feel like the same strategies and tactics
ideological
and motives are at play.
Okay.
But the people that are the targets are different because, I don't know if we want to put the word ethnic in there.
You think it's too soon?
too soon, yeah. No, but I think you're right. I think the sentiment is there for ideological cleansing. And, I think it's just like his Justice Department guy, what's his name?
Eric Holder
said it's about changing the whole outlook of the masses of American society on guns.
Well, Obama promised to fundamentally change America. That was like the most complicated campaign promise he had. His campaign promises generally were hope, change. But, you know, when people wanted a little more information, he would say, and this is about as complicated as he ever got. It was kind of elect me and then you can read the bills that I pass without Congress. You know, he said, I promise to fundamentally change America. And he's doing it. And, you know, about 47% of America hates it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, I think less than 47% of America loves it. And a bunch of them are just like, what? Huh?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
He gave me a phone.
He gave me a phone. Jay-Z was at his inauguration.
Ooh. I can't. The celebrity worship is just disgusting me. And the celebrities are disgusting me. And anybody, I've met a lot of famous people and hung out with them and had like real heart to hearts with them. And it doesn't go to my head. I can't understand how someone can like never even meet these people and have these imaginary relationships with them to where they want to run their life on a soundbite. All right. We're going to go. We're going to pause. We're going to go sell some stuff.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to freedomfiends.com.
So one more thing about piracy. I came up with an interesting quote that was retweeted a bunch, was that copyright is piracy far more than file sharing is piracy, because copyright involves pointing guns at people's heads, which actual over-the-water pirates did.
Right. That's a great point. Well, not only that, but copyright seeks to deprive others who don't own the copyright of the material, whereas file sharing doesn't seek to deprive anybody of anything. It just shares it. Piracy and file sharing is not piracy. It's more of a tape echo, you know?
Or like a pre-tape echo, like old vinyl records used to have, where you'd hear like the ghost sound of the first bar of the music and then it would come in. Which was because they stored the tapes tails out backwards on the reels, and they would print through. Actually, no, they stored them tape tails out to prevent that. But if they stored them normal wound, it would do that.
It's just so crazy to me to think of physical things like metal reels and magnetic tape affecting the way your final product sounds.
You're using a tube preamp, man. You're old school in part of this.
Yeah, but then I have... Then the final product's not going to be that. I'm not printing to vinyl or printing to tape, man. It's not going to be a physical medium. It's just going to be ones and zeros that I can clip and move accordingly.
Scott Beezer, to play devil's advocate, I will say that Scott Beezer had an interesting comment to that tweet of mine. And I think he's kind of pro-copyright. His comment was, that's true, but the people being attacked by over the sea pirates often shot back.
Well, yeah, when I talked to I did an interview with Scott Beezer, and it was a pretty good interview. It was about, you know, his great work, which is just amazing on Quantum Vibe, and I did bring up IP, and it seemed to be where we got with that was he thinks that there could be some kind of non-state way of doing some type of intellectual property. And of course, you don't really know what that looks like without having the market take care of it and without having everybody's ideas factor into what ends up working for the market. But he thinks there would be something in place to provide that desire of authors and consumers to have the original versions of things, not copies.
And I like, for someone who's a pro-IP libertarian, which he is, I believe, I like what he does, which is basically he gives all his stuff away. He sells physical books, but he gives, you know, you can go to his site. We just heard an ad for it. You can go to his site, quantumvibe.com. And look at his stuff, you know, for free. You can read all his books online.
I'm not sure if it's fair to call him pro-IP. I would call him something like market IP theorist or something more nuanced than just pro-IP.
And not theorist in a bad way, but in a way of like, well, you know, I guess in that same way, we're theorists about libertarian paradise. I mean, we have theories and haven't been able to try them out yet.
Yeah, exactly.
To the full extent. Yeah. Yeah, I guess my thing with copyright is mainly that, you know, you always only go for the moral argument with something, and I always go for the moral argument and the does it work argument, and you know, like voting, for instance, like people who I can't convince with the moral argument of voting is immoral. Sometimes I can get through to them with saying like, well, how's that working out for you? You know, you know, it's 51% of the people can decide that you should be droned, so it happens. Or, you know, 51% of the people of the voters elect some guy and then he can kill you. You know, that's how's that working out for you? So
right
and that's my
so
thing
society
with copyright,
how's like, IP working out for you, society?
How's IP working out for you? I mean, you can sue all the little 12-year-old disabled girls you want, but you're not going to stop people sharing files. It's not going to happen. So let's share some copyrighted material here in a fair use way. I want to talk about Up With People, which just sounds wrong to begin with. So Up With People, why don't you play this performance a little, as much as we can stand of this performance of the manufactured pop propaganda group Up With People that started in the 60s and is funded by Halliburton and General Electric, and was used to basically get an American foot in the door in countries where they hated us. They'd send these shiny, happy, young, singing and dancing people to perform there for free. And then like 2 days later, GE and Halliburton and a whole bunch of other people, I guess they're people now, they're corporations, they're people, would come in and start start doing business.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
This is basically Dick Cheney's Glee Club is what you called
Dick Cheney's Glee Club.
Why don't you play a couple minutes of Up With People?
If we can get that far, like you said, we'll play as much as we can stand. This is from the Super Bowl 16 in 1982, Pontiac, Michigan.
How old were you then?
Up With People. I was negative 2 years old. I was born in 1984, so I was not in existence.
Why were you born?
I came to Earth to stop Up With People, and I've just now found my cause because I wasn't aware of them until yesterday when you showed me this awful
stuff. You can use. All right, man,
there you
play
go.
It.
Up With People.
Yeah.
Take up from the hills and the valleys, and from both sides of the tracks.
stop. Okay, first of all, how square is it that their whole performance here was based on Do the Twist, which is a 1961. How square are they in 1981 doing that?
Completely square. Yeah, well, I guess they were doing a medley, because then they did Cool Jerk, and I think they go on to do some other standards of the 50s and 60s, and that was kind of the theme. I don't know why they would do that, though,
That's for old people.
Yeah, I guess what they were trying to do is appeal to the lowest common denominator, young and old. But what it seems to me like is they failed to appeal to anybody. At least I can't see how anybody would be excited by this. And the visuals, I do encourage you to go take a look.
Describe it. We'll link it, but pretend that we're doing like the live. You and I are the live sports commentators on ESPN Ocho. Or ESPN 8, the Ocho. If it's almost a sport, we've got it.
Right. Well, there's about, what, like 200-some people there.
There's
all
a band.
Singing and dancing. There's a band in the middle.
They're lip-syncing. I think this was the beginning of lip-syncing at like Super Bowl and Grammy-type stuff.
I really do. Because it's really poor audio, but it sounds like there's really only 5 or 6 voices in the mix. But there's like 100, 200 people here.
Yeah.
There's a band in the middle, and everybody is dressed, I don't know, it looks like some kind of industry video, like some kind of training video for an office made in 1980. Everybody's like wearing these awful blouses and these square shirts with horrible ties. They have awful hair. They have mustaches. And they are smiling at this really creepy smile, like they're all on scopolamine. And it is just an insanity to watch these people dancing and singing. But it seems so hollow. It reminds me of when Ben did a cast about how music is anarchic, and if the government tries to force music, it just sounds awful because it's so not genuine. And that's really the impression I get from listening to this, and even when I just heard it. But as you've explained in the intro to this, this was pretty much government music, right? It was right-wing, Dick Cheney, Halliburton.
And now this group still exists. And it's left wing. It's UN funded now, and it's called something else even worse than Up With People. But they still do the same thing. They still send shiny young people dressed in like some marketing weenies version of what's hip. I mean, you didn't really describe the people. They kind of look hippie. They kind of look like they did in the 60s, which is like, you know, sort of longish hair, but really, really not very long, and really well cut and washed, and mustaches, but no beards, and not very long mustaches, and really trimmed, and like kind of bright.
But it's not generic. It's like, or it's not genuine. It's generic, right? It's like they look like hippies, like those dollar wannabe Disney movies, like Aladdin. You know, the movies that are fake, that aren't the real genuine article. They look like some kind of mass marketed dollar bin.
Okay,
hippies.
Like in Disney, Freaky Friday, the remake where Jamie Lee Curtis is the mother. I think she was the daughter in the original, but the remake with Jamie Lee Curtis, the daughter has a punk rock band. Okay. The band in the Disney punk rock band in that is punk rock in the same way that Up With People are hippie or hip.
Okay. Yeah. That works.
Okay. Up With People is now called Initiatives of Change, and they are funded by the UN.
A
global organization dedicated to building trust across the world's divides of culture, nationality, belief, and background. The organization is committing to transforming society, beginning with change in individual lives and relationships. Now, it's incredibly socialist. It was incredibly socialist when it started, but it was right-wing in the 60s, and it actually came out of something that started in the 20s, which was like right wing Christian, but it was a right wing Christian guy who also admired Hitler for saving Europe from communism, was his quote.
Wow. Now, saving Europe from communism in favor of national socialism. Yeah, really, really good save there.
Yeah, and he was really inspired. The thing that made him want to do this kind of stuff was someone said to him, was telling him about how fervent young people are about communism in Europe, you know, basically because there's a gun to their head. And he said, how are you going to make people that excited about Christianity? So he came up with this guy. The guy's name was Frank Buchanan, and he came up with, okay, talk about a creepy name. Moral Rearmament was the name of the organization. Ooh. Started in 1938. That later started. It came out of something called the Oxford Group, which was actually how Bill Wilson from AA got sober. And he went to the Oxford Group because Carl Jung told him in a letter, you know, J-U-N-G, the psychiatrist who was a contemporary of Freud, European guy, told him, the only way I've seen people of your degree of alcoholism recover is to find religion. So he was basically an agnostic, but he started going to Oxford Group meetings and found religion and stayed sober. And he kind of got drummed out of there because he wanted it to just be about sobering up drunks. And he didn't like, I mean, one of the things that the Oxford Group did, it was men only. They would have groups where they would have kind of attack therapy, talking about your masturbation habits in front of strangers. Ugh. And trying to stop
Yikes.
It. Yeah. And okay. Bill Wilson was kind of a libertarian and said, F this, and went and started his own thing. And they were like, good, glad you're gone. But he took the 12 steps from sort of a 6-step methodology that the Oxford Group had. The Oxford Group called themselves First Century Christianity. And AA took the good from it and not the bad. He left the Nazi worship. He left the public masturbation talk, and he left the overt Christianity and took the 6 steps of recovery, which were expanded to the 12 steps to make them easier by piecemeal for reluctant drunks to swallow them, basically. And he also took the, like, having meetings and raising your hand and speaking and testifying. The Oxford Group was based on what they called first century Christianity, which was one man speaking to another, not a church, you know. And that's what AA is. It's one man speaking to another, one person speaking to another. And it's what the Fiends are. It's two men speaking to one person listening. I mean, there's a lot of thousands of people, but we feel like we're speaking to one person.
Yeah. So Bill Wilson sort of creamed or skimmed the cream off the top and left what was left of all that to rot and become up with people, which has been ripped on in
by South Park.
You know, current
it's amazing
media.
To me how much nobody knows about Up With People. I think most of our listeners don't. But Up With People have literally performed for millions of people around the world for five decades, and have performed for the Pope and have performed for President Nixon and other presidents, and performed at the Super Bowl, and nobody knows who the hell they are. But they
because other than ripping on them, there's nothing rememberable about them. It's totally forgettable because it's just fake. It's whipped cream. It's fake whipped cream. It's Cool Whip.
Yeah, there is a South Park where the kids join a group that is based on Up With People and go to save the rainforest and sing a song called "Getting Gay with Kids Is Here." Why don't we go ahead and play that? Because most of our fans probably have heard that. Most of our fiends.
Go. Time to get gay.
With kids. Zatitude, wow. There's a place that is magical and full of brain. Now it needs help because it is in pain. Cleaning the earth is a mighty big chore. We're spreading awareness like never before. Getting gay with kids is here. Spread the word and bring you cheer. Let's save the rainforest, what do you say? Being an activist is totally gay. Someday if we work hard, boys and girls, there'll be nothing but rainforest covering the entire world. World. Getting gay with kids is here. Spread the word and bring you cheer. Yeah. Getting gay with kids is here. Ugh.
Ugh. It's totally gay, dude.
It is, man. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So what do you think about Dick Cheney's Glee Club, Up With People?
Well, I think it's one of these things that statists and governments do where they take some natural phenomenon
and screw
they try to twist it to their ends, and it doesn't retain any of the original goodness that the phenomenon had. So they took something like music and something like communicating, dancing. Yeah, that taking primal things like music and dancing and trying to communicate a message through that. But since there's not really a principled message, it's just fluff. It's nothing. It's nonsense. And so I don't know. I guess the government does this with all sorts of things. I feel like they do it with nature. They do it with education.
Denatured. Up with people denatures music and dancing.
It does.
Yeah.
And the concept of communicating through music. Because I think music has a long and rich history of, you know, protest music and Bob Marley and Lupe Fiasco and people before that, of really trying to send a message and be about freedom and freedom fighting and bucking the system. And art in general, you know, some art has a long tradition of trying to free people, you know, to free your mind and speak to you on an individual level. And one of the interesting things about Up With People is it's so collectivist, right? It's not one person or a band of four or five people or a DJ and an MC.
And everyone was replaceable in it. And the people performing, probably none of them are on the recording, I would guess.
It's probably
The Wrecking Crew, that group that we talked about that played on all the 60s records.
Yeah, or something like that, just studio musicians. And then when you see this chunk of 200 people singing with glee, none of them, you're not actually hearing them. They're just window dressing. They're just there to say, hey, look, everybody's doing it. There's 200 people smiling and saying, up with people. How can that be wrong?
Yeah, up with people. There's actually a Simpsons that takeoff on that. I forget what it's called. But, you know, I have this image of, like, in 1965, the war room in Doctor Strangelove, like something like that, and people that looked like Dick Cheney back then talking about this threat of hippie protest music and what can we do about it, and the think tank predecessors sitting in the war room inventing Up With People. I picture that.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah,
I think so, too. I have another link song for you to play. It's a 1960 something commercial. I just pigeoned it to you. It was a Coca-Cola commercial, and it was the same kind of, I don't know if Up With People influenced this or vice versa, but it's totally taking something, you know, cool and this was and making it really creepy. It's called I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing, and it's a Coca-Cola or Pepsi Coca-Cola commercial, and it's a bunch of well-dressed, groomed, hippie-ish, you know, people dressed as hippies on a mountaintop singing. And there's a helicopter shot of it. And it was huge. It was a hit song. And it was really creepy. It's really one-worldly. It's really, we need to turn all our will and desires and needs over to a one-world government. Right. It has that feel. Why don't you go ahead and play that?
And again, coming from a corporate boardroom, you know, a boardroom rather than from somebody's heart to your ear.
Well, I mean, is there a difference between between corporate and military? I mean, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
from a boardroom where people are centrally planning how you'll feel about this piece of art, because it's not really art. It's propaganda. Here we go.
Oh, and the there is a real band in this, and they're called that made this. They're called the New Seekers.
All right.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love.
By stealing tax money.
Apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I'd like to buy the world a coke
and keep it company.
Okay, stop. It's friggin' horrible. It's just stabbing my brain. Okay, this was 1971. And turn off my echo.
So before
turn
up
off
with
my
people.
Echo. Okay.
It's off.
Yeah.
Only say it once, or else you're echoing yourself.
Let's see. When was Up With People? Well,
82. Well,
no,
not when it started. But that's
not when it started. Okay. History. Let's see. The mid 60s. No, so Up With People was first, and the I'd like to teach the world to sing and buy it a house and a Coke with stolen tax money through the UN song was 1971. Yeah. So I was 64. I never heard with Up With People until a few years ago. I saw this Coke commercial nonstop when I was, what, eight, seven, something like that. I mean, it was a commercial I was happy when it came on, because it wasn't like other commercials. It was cheery and it was brainwashing and I wanted my brain washed and filled with
melodies. Washed with Coca-Cola.
Yes. Mm. Washed with phosphoric acid and sugar water. That's what Coca-Cola is.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Let's go sell some stuff that's not Coca-Cola, that's not sugared water, and then come back and talk more about Up With People.
Sure.
We're going to come, when we come back, we're going to go straight into playing a 7-minute clip of a documentary about Up With People called, was it Smile Till You Die?
Smile Till It Hurts.
Yeah, okay. We're going to come back with that. All right.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers who truly dig the free market? Freedom Fiends is now selling ad space. Slots are reasonably priced, but limited, so contact us today. Write the Fiends at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's talkback@freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Rolling, rolling.
We were drugged with a passion to make a difference. We were on a mission.
What if peace could happen? What if we could build a beautiful city on a hill?
We want to right what is wrong in the world through a moral revolution.
We walk through doors that your average singing group never gets through.
I stayed in the home of Francois Mitterrand.
Bob Hope.
Cindy Poitier.
Grace Kelly.
Ronald Reagan.
She came running out and said, President Eisenhower is on the phone for you.
I traveled to every continent, with the exception of Antarctica, of course.
China, Jordan, Mexico.
Holland, Belgium, and Luxembourg.
Japan.
Nairobi.
London, Slavia, Switzerland,
Korea.
Germany,
and
Poland.
What the hell was Up With People?
A marvelous singing group who travel all over the world, spreading their own infectious idea of joy.
They were radical moderates.
Whoopee, you know, I'm singing Up For People, you know, aren't you for people too?
They don't supposedly look for talent. And if you've ever been to a show, you would know that.
If you control somebody with sex and money, you've got them.
It's one of the fascinating things of cults. You get a bunch of people who will do things and say things that the year before they wouldn't have even remotely dreamed of doing.
We're very happy that the Up With People group would be with us.
They had behind them the very powerful force of the American government.
Follow the money. Where does the money come from? And why are they financing them with millions and millions of dollars?
Some people felt that Up With People played a part in averting a third world war.
I'd agree with that.
I would agree with that statement.
Yeah.
Nima.
They can hear us.
I know.
We're recording.
Is it still on?
Still on?
Oh, it's still playing.
Oh, it's still playing.
It
must have been about the summer of 1968.
Sorry. That was just
I'm
the first segment.
Through Washington Square Park in Greenwich Village in New York.
Pause it.
Stoned. Quite stoned.
Okay, that's P.J. O'Rourke, who became a libertarian later of some sort, somewhat libertarian. Do you know his stuff?
P.J. O'Rourke sounds familiar. Let me wiki him and see if I've read something.
Yeah, I really wanted to say that's P.J. O'Rourke, and he's talking about walking through Greenwich Village in the 60s stoned and coming across these shiny, happy people playing pop music that really just grated his nerves and made him want to quit smoking pot because it was so horrible.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. H.L. Mencken Research Fellow at the Cato Institute.
Okay, there you go. That's him speaking. I also want to just interrupt. We just got a $375 donation from Moral Mango. I'm blown away. That's the most we've ever gotten for a donation. It's toward our Comrex Fund. And this is somebody who will never hear us on radio because he's in Europe. And somebody else offered to send some money from Canada. Probably not that much, but more than we usually get for a donation. We're getting another one from Canada. They will never play us on the radio in Canada. The CBC has it, the government radio has it locked up there. So get on it, Americans. I don't want a cyber bag, but you're being shamed by people outside America who are donating large amounts to get us on American radio.
I can't believe that. That boggles my mind.
Me too.
I'm really touched, like, genuinely. That's amazing. Thank you so much.
Yep. And TuneCore just sent us $5.20, which is our money from the Obama stink feet stink video download sales of the MP3. So we're splitting that four ways: you, me, Rich Black, and my dad.
And
so,
your dad for saying Obama's feet stink.
Expect a check for a dollar in change coming soon. All four of you.
Yes, I can't wait.
Man, music pays. Music pays. I guess cyber begging pays better than music.
Apparently.
All
right. Wow. So should we start off the top with Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
All right. Here he is.
In Greenwich Village in New York. Stoned. Quite stoned. And right there at the fountain in the middle of the park, which was sort of the living room for all the long-haired peace creeps of the era, there's this incredibly perky group of short-haired, ironed, necktied kids my own age singing perky songs. I was terrified. I said, "Whoa, I'm not smoking any more of that stuff." I mean, what would bring more or less identically dressed people singing insipid songs down to Washington Square in the middle of the afternoon in 1968?
The state.
The state, maybe.
Have you ever felt that your problems were special?
No, this is somebody who's pro.
You were the only one that had them?
Up with people.
Well, that's what I thought, too. But you know what? Life is getting better every day. Oh, yeah. Things are looking up in every way. My troubles and my worries were too much for me to bear. So finally, in despair, I threw my troubles in the air and took upon my shoulders all the woes and cares of everybody else instead of mine. This may seem impossible, but I can tell you now, it's happening and darned if I know how.
As I look back at the history and the culture of Up With People, it is, in some sense, like Camelot. The dreams of the idyllic world, where childhood could never end and wars could never start. And yet we know there is the other world and the more real world.
The people who
fund the harsh world.
The actual world.
There's more. Let's be honest. I mean, Up With People, they served a pro-war function. That's what they did. So they can mention peace and they can mention people, but they were functioning in support of an enterprise that was blowing a lot of people into small pieces.
Were we supportive of the establishment? When you say the establishment, who are you talking about? Congress? The president? Wall Street? I don't know. I mean, we were supportive of America. I don't know how to answer that question.
He was in it.
Merca.
Patriotism, was nothing wrong with that. We're damn lucky we live in the country we do.
See, I never thought of Up With People as being for the war, but for the soldiers who were there.
Support troops.
We went on to military bases. It was a thing to encourage those guys and thanking them for the sacrifice they were making. They loved it. But as far as whether we should or shouldn't be in Vietnam, we didn't really know that there was another side to the whole story.
I don't know. I'm just a girl.
Follow the money. Yeah. Where does the money come from? And why are they financing them with literally millions of dollars?
You're talking about companies that are knocking on the doors of other countries and trying to gain admittance to their markets. Companies that are very, very eager to allay anti-American reactions, maybe by the population there.
Up With People opened the door. You send in these young people, singing young people. American corporations came right behind them and established themselves.
To do business, yeah.
Right. This is a segment called Closet Cases.
Being gay and up with people was not possible.
not possible.
There was no such thing as gay, even though it was up with people, was dancing, and it attracted every closet case. It was like the whole country got upended, and all the boys who liked to put on tights and prance around in front of their mirror, you know, ended up in Up With People. So you had tons of fairies. But in Up With People world, homosexuality did not exist. There was no gay. When in fact, you were surrounded by other gay people who you could never talk to about it. It was sick.
Wow.
Wow.
I would like to watch that whole documentary.
Wow.
It seems kind of mind-blowing.
I can't find it, though. There's only that 7 or 9 minutes on YouTube.
Ah, okay.
My favorite line of that was they described them as radical moderates. And I feel like that's what a lot of people are now in America, radical moderates. Because radical moderatism, radical centrism is how you do business. You know, I mean, I'll think about all the corporations that give millions of dollars to both the Democrats and the Republicans.
Right. Well, they take radical means to keep everything the way it is. They take radical means to preserve the status quo. And I think that that's what war is, and that's what lobbying is, and that's what regulations are. Those are radical means. They're pointing guns at people to keep the current power structure the way it is.
A little side note, that documentary was at the center of a Supreme Court, or no, of an IRS court case. The guy who made that documentary lost a lot of money on it because it was done back when it was film and it was expensive to make documentaries. And he lost money on it and, you know, declared it on his taxes. And the IRS said, a documentary film is made to spread an idea, not to make money. And if you don't make money at it, you can't declare your losses on your taxes. And the IRS lost and the filmmaker won, which is really good for me because of the 4 documentary films I've made, at least one of them has lost money. And I legally declared the losses on it. But you know, it worked out, and it was a legitimate business move because I made money on the other 3 and used leveraged the attention of the one that lost money to help the ones later make money.
Right.
Yeah.
And to help with other things that make money or pseudo make
money. And to help the world, man. I mean, we're responsible for I believe that our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom is responsible for the existence of the new FedGoon agency, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco. BATFE is going to also cover marijuana. And my wife came up with a great name for the combination. It's BATFEM.
BATFEM.
BATFEM. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Explosives, and Marijuana.
Right. Basically, but like Up With People, they can never admit their gayness.
You know, basically everything, every BATFEM, everything that 15-year-old boys are intrigued by, except pornography. If they added pornography, BATFEM, then it would be, you know, every boy's dream.
That's why they want to work for the ATF or the BATFEM.
Yeah, they just have the TSA do do yeah. digital bondage rape against your will.
I just digital remember,
meaning hands, not.
There was this one time I was working for the station keeper in Eastern Washington, and
I am not your brother's keeper.
Keeper, yeah. There was this case that they wanted me to cover, and it was sort of a sex crime thing, but it was just alleged a guy supposedly diddling somebody or making advances to a young person. But it was just alleged, and the guy was fighting back. So, of course, in moral life, it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, but that's not the way it works in media world. So the news director was like, oh, and they seized a bunch of guns and weed from his house? Wow, this story has everything. And she dispatched me to cover it, and I go to the police station to get some B-roll of the guns and weed that they had seized. And I just remember staring at this table full of like 20 guns and guns that I'd wanted and had been looking up online, like Dragunovs, like Dragunov rifles, and like six AKs, and an amazing amount of pistols, and they were all so beautiful. And I'm like, wow, this guy had spent so much time building a collection, and you could just take it from him, even though his supposed crime, which is, first of all, he's supposed to be innocent of it until you prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he did it. And second of all, it had nothing to do with guns. It was a sex crime. Why do you get to take his whole gun collection that he's amassed throughout his whole life? And I
that really like, does have everything from a producer's standpoint: guns, drugs, and sex.
Yeah, it does.
And crime.
But I was just like, man, I kind of want to liberate one of these guns. But I didn't. But being there in that room, the only thing that kept me from just pocketing some of those is, well, A, morals, and B, I was inside the cop shop. But then the cops took me out to this trailer that they had. Like you know, those shipping crates. That's what it was. Like a shipping crate that you see on a ship, and then they put it on a train, and it drives across the world or whatever. It was a shipping crate. They open it up, and it's just full of like all the pot they've seized like that week or something. A whole shipping crate.
Were you salivating?
I was, and I was like, will they notice if I just grab a nug and slip it in my pocket?
I've often said that there are there's only one adamant pro weed activist in America who doesn't smoke weed, and it's me. I guess there's Stefan Molyneux, but he's not in America. So now that you don't smoke weed, and there are two adamant pro-weed activists who don't smoke weed, has it changed your opinion at all?
Not at all. Why would it?
Good. Well, it just goes to prove, you know, I mean, a lot of people just fight for the rights of what they want to do, which is how we end up with people ending up disarming Americans, which I think there's a direct connection.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And kudos to you.
Well, it's something we rail against. I mean, it you have to be consistent or else there's no point. One tiny inconsistency can sour your whole message if you don't recognize it. I mean, sometimes you can be inconsistent and not realize it, but that's why it's important for other libertarians to point it out to you. That's why when you were talking about pod beef, well, like a year ago or 6 months ago, and you're saying, well, it's okay, it's not, you know, we can rock the boat a little bit because the movement's big enough now. The boat won't sink. And not only that, but the movement's big enough now that we're in sort of a spotlight. And if somebody's being inconsistent or a hypocrite and you don't, or people in the movement don't call them out and point it out, then that discredits or can discredit the whole thing in the eyes of outsiders.
Is this going to segue into Ron Paul?
Exactly.
Not yet. I'm not done with Up With People, man. I'm not letting this opportunity go by. Okay. I keep blowing your perfect segues, but
that was a really good one. I just want that to be recognized, and then we can go to Smile Till It Hurts or Up With People some more.
Yeah. Well, Smile Till It Hurts is the documentary about Up With People, and if anyone knows how to get the full movie, let me know. I couldn't find it anywhere. I'd buy it. I'd actually buy it. It's not on. I couldn't find it on the BitTorrents. I couldn't find it maybe it's on Hulu. It's not on Netflix. Couldn't find it all on YouTube. Couldn't find it for sale anywhere. So if anyone knows or has a copy, let me know. So to most people who saw Up With People, who are normal, sheepish people, hearing us say that it's a twisted and subversive evil government plot, they would think we're insane. But it is. It was pro-war. It was someone in there actually had the audacity to say that it prevented World War III. And maybe it did, but only in the sense that companies that wanted to go control other small countries with the United States help didn't need to go in and bomb them as much, because they sent the the music bomb of Up With People to prime the area of target-rich resources.
Yes. Yes, take whatever resources you want. Just stop playing that music.
It's also really subversive and evil. I don't want to say subversive. That's our word. It's really sinister because it's reached millions of people, and most people I know have never heard of it. So how do they do that? How do you – it's like a sniper rifle instead of a shotgun. You know, it's a laser. Yeah. It got under my radar. I didn't hear about it until 2 years ago. So you just heard about it 2 days ago. And I think a lot of our fans are hearing it from the first time. I'm sure we'll get some comments of, I was at that Super Bowl. It was horrible. One of my favorite comments on YouTube is that was back when cameras had flash bulbs. And it was really weird because there'd be in a stadium flash, you know, you'd see a sparkle of flash bulbs in the crowd. Which is ridiculous because flash bulbs only work to about 12 feet.
Yeah.
But a lot of cameras would go off anyway, or people were too stupid to not have them go off. And one of the comments on YouTube was, all those flashes of light in the audience aren't flash bulbs. It's people shooting themselves. And I don't usually like suicide humor or suicide gun violence humor, but that's pretty funny, man.
Yeah, it's funny every now and then. South Park can do it funnily, like when Paris Hilton's pets. They have before, but
when Paris Hilton who blew her head off with a shotgun really graphically?
No, that was Britney Spears.
I didn't need to see that, man. That was really disturbing. I mean, it's funny to me when Death Clock does it.
That was too far.
It's funnier.
But in South Park,
they can never go too far.
Death Clock. Paris Hilton's pets killed themselves because they were Paris Hilton's pets. That was funny. When you see the Chihuahua dragging the .38 special out of Paris Hilton's purse and offing itself because it can't stand Paris Hilton. That was funny.
Well, I'm almost done with Up With People, unless you got more. And then we can go sell some stuff and come back and talk about Ron Paul and Ben Quaker and how much he loves Ron Paul.
Thumbs down, and I'm saying thumbs down to people right now. We're done with them.
Down with Up With People. Maybe that'd
down
be a good
with
name
up with
for
people.
This one.
They should be in the dustbin of history and stay there.
One thing I want to add that we didn't talk about when we were talking about Red Dawn, the book Moulin Labe by Boston Tea Party has the governor doing stuff over the radio, like John has a long mustache. He's giving coded words to his operatives around the state, his freedom fighters.
Right. Because in that fantasy world, politicians are on your side sometimes.
Yeah. And why does that guy have a radio show and we don't yet? It's taking longer than I thought it would, but we're in. It's just going to take a while. Might take a couple months.
Patience, grasshopper.
But the Comrex is not going to be an issue, apparently, if Americans match their Canadian and Scandinavian brethren and sistren's donations from fiends like you.
Yeah, well, it is Merca.
All right, man. And no donation is too small. All right, here we go.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property. Yo, Nima Fee.
Yo, that's
me. Boy. Yeah, boy, Pro Tools.
Yeah, boy, Pro Tools.
Pro Tools is a program that people use to make music and audio for films. And it's really complicated, and I never really liked it. What do you use instead?
I use Cubase. You can follow me at YoGirlCubase at Twitter. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, boy, Pro Tools.
And I use SoundForge, Vegas, and Acid.
Well, I use others too. I use Cubase for multi-tracking. I use Reason for soft synth. And I use various hardware to something like that.
But talk about Yaboy Pro Tools.
Yaboy Pro Tools.
On Twitter.
Yeah. So there's this Twitter account called Yaboy Pro Tools. And basically he tries to sound cool and hip
and black.
And black while promoting Pro Tools is pretty much the only gist.
And what is our theory about who it really is? A white guy working at Pro Tools
with a dual major in African American studies and social marketing. Media marketing.
Yeah, social media. Yeah. Yep. Read some of his yeah boy sample rate. That's one of his tweets.
Yeah.
MIDI is bigger than Jesus.
Yeah boy dither. Quantizing beats with elastic audio. With elastic audio. I love quick keys. The key to being an audio engineer is quick keys in Pro Tools. That's all you need.
He forgot to talk in Ebonics in that one.
Yeah. Quick keys sounds like some of these things sound like they could be cool. Maybe I'll check out Pro Tools one day. Who knows? You know that little composer button? I call it Harry Potter because it looked like he's holding the magic wand.
Oh my god.
Everyone's tweeting about snow. I'm a tweet about Pro Tools.
Fug dis mix. Cutting loops, yo.
Don't double dither.
Early morning Pro Tooling. 808, bitches.
Yeah. 808 bitches, that's kind of cool. All right. Yeah.
Effing noise on my tracks. And he censors himself. Like, it's F*CKIN noise on my tracks.
Here's one. Why do DJs use vinyl records when there's Pro Tools?
How's it called theirs?
Can Pro Tools mix in real time, buddy? I don't know if it can. Maybe it can. Who knows? But if you're looking for software for DJing, man, get Serato or a Traktor. Get something that's for
Barry
live.
Serato.
Who's Barry Serato?
Well, isn't Obama's real name on his birth certificate Barry Serato or Cerrito or Sotero?
I don't know.
I
hope
I think
not,
it is.
Man. I love Serato.
He went by that. It was his black dad's name. And he went by it when he was like getting funding for college as a black, black people get free money to go to college. Mm-hmm. Everybody except white people get more free money to go to college. Mm-hmm. So, he was a shapeshifter picking which, what he wanted to be when it would be to his advantage, which, mm-hmm. Who wouldn't, but it just kind of adds to the myth of the man who's going to be doing his state of the status speech tonight.
There's hate in Yaboy Pro Tools too. Here's, if you like LYKE, if you like Logic, get the F out the club. If you like Ableton, get the F out the club. If
Those
you like Cubase,
programs.
Get the F out the club. Yeah, man. Why does it have to be like that? Why can't
there was
I
one,
like
There was one that said, why do... There's one that had a really like racist... double entendre. It said, why do white people like Logic so much? And Logic is a program, but
right.
Speaking of Das Racist, we haven't talked that much for a few days about the cop killing cop who's on the run. Did we ever talk about that at length?
I don't think so. No, we did over the phone. I don't think we did it on microphones.
Everyone else has already done it with all the notes I was going to use. They hacked my notes, but yeah.
Microphones remind me of the term minigun, because miniguns are like huge, but they're mini for a naval vessel.
And
my microphone is micro.
Yeah.
But it's bigger than my cell phone.
It's bigger than your phone. Well, when they were called microphones, they were smaller than a phone.
Ah, okay.
So, but that guy was racist, man. The black dude who was killing the cops, because he said in his screed, let me find it. It's I am not. Let's see, rapper. He said, I'm not an aspiring rapper. I'm not a gang member. I'm not a dope dealer. I don't have multiple babies' mamas. That's racist.
desert. But he was a cop, man. He was.
He was statist. Yeah. Really, really. He loves the state. He loves everything except the LAPD, which he hates. He loves the state. He loves Obama. He loves Pierce Butthole Morgan.
He wants Obama to ban assault rifles. He's like, I shouldn't have this gun. I want Obama to take it from me.
And, you know, interestingly, Alex Jones came to the same conclusion I did. I was like, you know, I was like, Sandy Hook is either a false flag. I think all these things are either false flags, Manchurian candidates, or, you know, which is where the CIA creates somebody and brainwashes them to kill people, or a product of a combination of the politics and economic situation in America, you know, created by everything, but really stepped up by Obama and psych meds. Mm. But Alex Jones believes that this guy is not a false flag. And I came to the same conclusion. I was like, I read his missive and I was like, nobody could come up with this. And if they did, it wouldn't serve their purposes because it's so all over the map. You know, you don't send a killer out to ban assault weapons and then endorse Hillary for president. It doesn't make her look good.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's the one that does the killing, not him.
I think it's interesting. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. And that's the point some people have been making is that look at how the state acts when they can't get the guy they want, when they can't just go in and make an easy job of it. They act like babies. They act like scared cowards and shoot up trucks with grandmas delivering newspapers.
You know, there was that picture of that black guy, big black guy wearing the funny homemade shirt. Not Christopher Dronin, whatever his name is. Don't shoot. Please don't shoot. I think Hispanic women between 40 and 65 should be wearing that shirt too.
Because they're getting shot up. Yeah, and I guess it's not funny. I shouldn't have chuckled at that. I mean,
and
really scary.
Anybody driving a truck, even if it's not his make, model, or color.
A truck.
Yeah. In L.A. And I'm so glad. I'm glad every day that DJ and I left L.A. And this is just one more reason.
Oh, yeah.
I can leave my house and no one's going to shoot me.
Yeah,
the cops aren't going to shoot me, and some gangbanger isn't going to shoot me, and you know, if some shaky meth addict pulls a knife on me, I will shoot him. And you can't do that legally in L.A. because you can't have a gun outside your house. So let's get off this guy. It's been covered to death.
Right. One more thing on Yaboy Pro Tools that you should like. Zahir Mohammed tweets at Yaboy Pro Tools, I stay on that art preamp. Gotta stay true to the streets. Mm. So your preamp and Frank's preamp are apparently true to the streets.
Yeah.
Because that's the one you use, right? The art preamp.
It's actually the best selling. Those two are the best selling preamps in the world because they're like two preamps for around $100, where two preamps usually cost between $400 and $4,000. So, and they're good. They're pretty good.
This SM Audio TB202 is amazing, and I think it sounds better than the two preamp, and there's less noise. But for $80, man,
where'd you get that?
I got that from Michael Dean because he was like, "I'm not using
that."
This.
That wasn't $80.
No, I think these go for like $200 or $250 now, if you can find them.
Yeah, if you can find them, they go for. I think they go for $350. They were $350 when I bought it, and I bought it used for $325, and had to drive like 50 miles to get it. I bought it off Craigslist. But I suffered for your art, but I got a lot of good use.
You
out
did.
Of it.
You
deserve
you
it,
did.
Man. You deserve it.
Aww.
Yeah.
And of course, when we're committed to the ages, when the lights go out and it's our turn, as Kendrick Lamar would say. This will sell for even more because it's covered in Michael's kitty stickers. And
I don't think we should sell it because they could clone us from it. I'm sure our DNA is all over it. There was
dust flakes.
Alex Jones sold one of his, he uses like, I think, Neumann condenser mics, which they actually sound really good for him, but it's because he has good outboard gear and good crew, and a good board operator, whereas usually people buy condenser mics who don't know what they're doing and they sound worse than dynamic mics, which is what we use. But he sold one of his mics used on eBay for $900. And there are all these threads. Wow. Like, for all you Alex Jones worshipers, and then like one comment was, maybe you could get his DNA from it and clone him.
There you go.
Clone the boys from, instead of the boys from Brazil, it's the boys from Austin. Could clone an army of Alex Joneses.
Mm-hmm. Worms. All right.
So my only other comment before we go bash Ron Paul, Jennifer Aniston I don't really like her as an actor. I actually liked her in Friends, which is horrible, but Friends worked as an ensemble cast, and nobody in Friends has done anything good since, and they all suck. But she plays the teacher, the voice is the teacher in Getting Gay with Kids Is Here. And it really works because she's playing a nanny state, one worlder school, public school teacher. And she does so well at it.
Mm, she does. She does. Even better than George Clooney as Sparky the gay dog.
Yeah. That's really funny. Those guys have balls to like cast somebody that big in something that small. And didn't they cast, I think South Park also casted, who's the Tonight Show guy?
Jay Leno.
Yeah, they cast Jay Leno as like turkey number four when all the turkeys are coming out.
Oh, yeah. Cajones, us grandes. Uno.
Speaking of cajones Spanish. Grandes, here's my segue. Ron Paul, man. Ron Paul, what did he do this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, the big hubbub is he wants ronpaul.com, you know. Him and Lou Rockwell and everybody in that sort of camp has been talking a big game about what happens after Ron Paul's done with Congress. They say he's not retiring. He's going to move on to bigger and better things, but being very vague about it. Well, one of the things they're not being vague about is that they want the website ronpaul.com. And I've noticed this from Lou's blog and his tweets and various people in that camp's Facebook's messages and things like that saying, oh, we're trying to get this website. Does anybody know how to contact them? Kind of like not very professional about it. And then all of a sudden this news comes out that they're trying to get the website and the owners of ronpaul.com don't want to sell it to them or offered it at, you know,
$850,000.
$850,000. And then they dropped the price to $250,000.
Okay. Here's the thing. Some guys who have nothing to do with Ron Paul registered ronpaul.com and ronpaul.org, I think. Like 6 years ago, they built it into a site. They got a big mailing list. They're totally pro Ron Paul. You know, I think the reason he waited to try to wrest the domains back from them is because he was in Congress, and I think that the rules are different for what someone can own of your name, you know, for parody or fair use or whatever, when you're a public figure versus a private citizen. Because it came pretty quick after him. And, you know, there's all sorts of things like, well, maybe his lawyers did it and he didn't have anything to do with it. But, you know, we should have heard by now if that's the truth and he should have gone back on it. But what they're doing and what they did, I don't think is entirely right on. And I think you may differ on that. Do you? What the website
owners did. Well, let's explain it. Oh, what the website owners did.
Yeah, let's explain more what they did in case there's people who don't know. They Ron Paul didn't contact him casually and say, hey, thanks for doing the work. I'd like these now, or let's work something out. He sent a lawyer letter, which threatened to go to ICANN, which is the Domain Registration Overseeing Board, which is overseen by the UN. And the UN has a monopoly on legal action for wresting your name as a domain name from someone else. I really think, A, they should have been a lot less. I think they were kind of aggressive with the amount that they charged because they wanted to charge him because the website wouldn't have any value without his name. You know, if it was zzz.bzz.com and it was all about Ron Paul, it wouldn't have nearly the following it does. So it's his name and what he's built is his name that gave it value.
That's a part of it, though. I mean,
let me finish. Let me finish. I think they should have been cooler with him instead of, you know, $850,000. They offered to give him ronpaul.org. And let me look at him. ronpaul.com is still their site. ronpaul.org is still the same site. So,
well, from what I understood, the $800,000 offer, they didn't know it was Ron Paul's people. It was somebody else who was trying to get it from them. And so it's just Joe Blow asking for it. Asking them to put a price on their work that they had done for years and years and years. And then when it was clearer to them that this was official Ron Paul people trying to get the site for use by the man himself, that's when they dropped it to $250,000.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Which
the other thing is my main other thing, there's two main other things I feel about this. One is Ron Paul should have talked to them directly even yeah. directly as himself, but or through someone directly, and not said, "I'm going to hold guns to your head to take this."
Right.
What do you want? How can I? I would, if I were him, I would have called them personally and said, "Can I have this? You know, I'll give you $5,000 for your work or something." But
exactly,
which may have been insult, but it would have been a place to start rather than "I'm going to point, you know, you and guns at your head." Thirdly, my third comment on this is I can't believe how disappointed people are about this, including Ben Stone. Ben Stone's podcast about this, he was so livid and angry that it hurt me to listen to. It also had audio problems, which is probably because he was so angry he didn't sound check. But I'm really surprised at Ben, because Ben taught me and you and the world the fallacy of the great man theory. And he sounds like he still holds some great manism for Ron Paul. I mean, he sounds in that whole cast, that whole hour of him screaming about this and the immorality of Ron Paul, he sounds like a Catholic who just found out the Pope is a Freemason. I mean, he sounds really harmed to his core when we've heard him again and again and again say, you know, I gave up on voting and worshiping people 20 years ago, you know?
I could definitely see how you took it that way, but the way I took it was he was directing that anger towards the blind followers of Ron Paul. And that's what I see here to people who say, "Oh, this might not be Ron Paul," or "We don't know what's going on," or, "Well, let's give Ron Paul the benefit of the doubt."
I didn't get that at all.
Even Lou Rockwell on his blog said, "These people are trying to charge Ron Paul money for his own name." But that is so... That's way too economically ignorant to give somebody like Lou Rockwell a pass on. Because, yes, it wouldn't have the value it has now without Ron Paul's name. But it also, the site wouldn't have the value it has now without the work of the owners of the site. They've homesteaded that space of the internet. You know, me and you both, we consider our website our property, and that's fair. You consider even your Facebook page is partly your property.
I mean, well, that's one of the many reasons I left Facebook, is they treat it like it's not your property.
Right, right. But you see the concept there, that a website, a domain name, I mean, it's called domain, right? The owners of ronpaul.com own that domain. That's their private property, and their work over the years has built it into the big site it is now. And so without their work, you also wouldn't have it be worth what they say it's worth. And the other thing is, you really hit the nail on the head, I think, when you said that Ron Paul should have talked to them, because negotiation is how these things are solved in the market. That's the market means. Anything other than negotiation, because what negotiation does is you can create a win-win. Through talking back and forth, you can come to an agreement to where the owners of RonPaul.com don't feel like they are being wronged or taken advantage of, and the same thing with Ron Paul. You know, maybe the price isn't $250,000, maybe it's lower, maybe it's higher, but the only way to find out the real price is for the two parties to sit down together, maybe with a third party arbiter, maybe not, but the minute that you put the IP police in the room, then it's not a good faith negotiation anymore.
And I did say, you know, people said, "What's next for Ron Paul?" And I said, blogging. You know, I think that's what he wants it for. I think he wants it because it's the place to find things about him, and he wants to put his things where that will be. However,
well, I mean,
here's the other thing I would do.
He doesn't already have such a big platform
for
that.
Here's the other thing I wish he'd done differently, and what I would do differently. You know, after going to them and trying to negotiate instead of wresting it out from them, what I would have done is I'm looking right now, therealronpaul.com is available. I would get that and just say, screw it. I mean, you know, there was a site called freedomfiends.com. It had nothing to do with us. It was like a music blog with no hits that hadn't been updated in a year and a half. And I asked them if we could have it, and they said, no, it's important to us. And, you know,
we didn't call the UNIP police,
right?
Did
you suggested calling it Fiends. Well, we wouldn't have a case with the UNIP police unless we'd been operating in commerce using one or the other of those
unless
names.
I changed my name to Freedom Fiend.
To name a fiend. Something. Yeah. Well, yeah. You would have had to have done it before they had the domain registered.
Well, also, according to the owners of RonPaul.com on their posting about this, they offered RonPaul.org for free. Free of charge. No money.
Yeah, I would have taken that and just... I mean, I think literally if he'd just taken that and started blogging on it, within a week, it'd be getting more hits than RonPaul.com.
Yeah, maybe.
I also think it's... I think one thing that's kind of ganky about this, I can see them trying to charge... money for the domain, for the work, not nearly that much, but something. But I don't think they should have tried to charge money for the mailing list, because I really feel like that mailing list, first of all, half of the people are probably already on his donor list. He's probably got most of them, or a lot of them. But I kind of feel like that there's different degrees of things that come under IP. And this is a trademark issue, not a copyright issue. And copyright, I absolutely think there should be, I think if you copy something digitally and put it out, you're not stealing, because the person still has the original and can still sell the original in any form. I think trademarks, and a lot of people that are anti-IP with copyright, have some reservation for trademark IP not enforced by the government. And I think there's other ways to do it. I really think the way is to let the market decide. He should get ronpaul.org or therealronpaul.com and start blogging on it. And literally within a week, it would be getting more hits than this other site if he had just done that. That's what I would do.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, what's even the Alexa ranking of ronpaul.com? I mean, I thought it was
I took Alexa off, man. It totally spies on you. I don't want Amazon knowing every website I go to.
It's 116,000, so it's fairly popular.
Yeah, what are the fiends right now?
Like 200-something. We're always hovering about 200.
Yeah, that's not that popular, 100,000-something. We're so using that logic, we're worth $400,000.
No, because you can't. That's, I think, the point Ben was trying to make, is that's not what decides prices. What decides prices is what the person who's selling it is willing to sell it for, and what the person who's buying is willing to
pay
for.
And see, what I think they did was they kind of, the website sellers kind of took the liberal artist view, which is the value of it is the amount of hours I've put into it. And we've proven in an episode why that isn't true.
Right, right. But that's completely within their rights to open with an offer like that. And then if the Ron Paul guys laugh in their face and say, fine, no, then they give a counter offer, and back and forth, back and forth. That's how haggling works. I mean, that's how the market works. You each make offers, and you agree upon something in the end, or you don't.
Your first offer shouldn't be an anonymous threat. Well, actually, the first one wasn't, right? It was an anonymous, how much do you want for it?
Yeah. Right,
okay,
right.
And then the second one was a threat from.
I'm not sure if this was the same exact thing, but I remember about a month ago, or maybe 6 weeks ago, in the Ron Paul-ish community, people were like, "Well, Ron Paul wants this website. Let's all work together and see what we can get from, if we can get it from the owners, or if the owners will volunteer."
Were they raising money for him? Man, they should be sending that money to us. We're not statists. We're not constitution humpers.
There you go.
I'm done with this. If you got more, I'll let you talk as long as you want. We're at the end of our normal time, but I'm willing to go more if you want to wrap this up in a pretty bow and then shoot it from across the hill or something. Not Ron Paul, the whole argument.
Well, I also want to say that I'm not angry at Ben for being angry at this, and the reason is I feel like when somebody who we consider as sort of a standard bearer for these ideas, which I know Ron Paul was a congressman, but he did retire, and now he's, I mean, you wrote an article saying Ron Paul's an anarchist now.
I was wrong.
You were wrong, but that was sort of the expectation, was he reads the right people and usually gets things right a lot of the time. So when somebody like Ron Paul does something like this and calls for the guns of the government to step in when he's not getting his way, that to me is more of something we should rail against than if a statist does it, than if Obama does it, or Feinstein does it, or somebody you would expect to do it. Because this person, Ron Paul, is such a standard bearer that people can point to him now. Well, I guess they always have, but people can point to this specific thing and say, hey, this is inconsistent. You guys are hypocrites. You're anti-IP? What's this? You know, you're anti-statism? What's this?
I've actually seen people who are not Ron Paul fans and call Ron Paulites in a derogatory way. I've actually seen them like back Ron Paul in this, like, oh, he actually makes sense for once. But here's what I think about the Ben thing. You don't know Ben nearly as well as I do. I talk to Ben on the phone very frequently, and I'm very in tune to his menopausal mood shifts.
Wow.
I can say that because he called us ladies in an email today. He said, hey, ladies, I can try to call you later. Oh, he couldn't call. He said he wrote back and said that it was raining so bad that the motorhome, it sounded like you know, hail in a cement mixer inside. He couldn't record, so couldn't call in. But yeah, no, man, I have male menopausal mood swings. I'm just teasing him with love. And but I know him really well, and I really detect subtle changes and not so subtle changes in him, probably better than most people outside his family ever. And there was really something else, I think, going on that day. It was either, you know, he was having a bad hair day or beard day or something, or he's still clinging to some residual great manism, because I kind of went, yeah, whatever about this whole thing. And I'm really surprised he didn't, because he's more of an anarchist than I am. I'm really surprised that he put so much, look at what this man did, when he has spent the last 2 years, every fifth podcast saying, Ron Paul isn't perfect. Ron Paul isn't an anarchist. Ron Paul believes in aggression because he's a constitutionalist. You know, so like literally the Constitution has copyright in it. So I'm going to go take this. You can sign off.
Okay. Well, I guess that means I get the last word. Yay. Yeah. I mean, I guess I can see maybe, you know, Ben better than I, and all that kind of stuff, or better than the listeners. But I still think that there's something to be said for, it's not just about Ron Paul. It's about how the movement or the mission talks about this, how we talk about what happened, and how we see this as somebody we consider one of our own, and how we judge the actions. And so maybe Ben was a little angry. I didn't listen to the whole thing. You know, I listened to the first 20 minutes.
He was incredibly angry, and it kind of made me want to go, like, you know, I remember going to AA meetings, and somebody would get up and just be ranting about something that, like, you know, people kind of go, why are you ranting? And, like, old timers would say to the guy, like, okay, what's really going on? I felt like saying that to Ben. What's really going on? You know, I know him well enough to know the differences in his voice and hear when something's really going on. And my question to Ben is, hey, Ben, what's really going on? And I couldn't get a hold of him yesterday because he ran out of cell minutes. I'm really sick of Ben being on vacation, and I want Ben to come back from vacation. I really do.
Well, we can also look at it like this.
His vacation is harming me.
What's really going on with this situation, and whether or not Ben was too angry or not angry enough is irrelevant to what actually is going on in the real world with Ron Paul and with RonPaul.com. And I think it's fair to say that Ron Paul isn't within his moral rights to call on a government agency like the frickin' UN of all people, which I guess you said it's their jurisdiction, but still, it's not right for Ron Paul to do that. And it doesn't matter to me even what RonPaul.com did, because there's nothing that justifies initiation of aggression, right? That's the whole point. Nothing will justify the initiation of aggression. And as far as I can see it, RonPaul.com didn't initiate any aggression. They bought this domain name when nobody wanted to buy it. They worked on it. And then all of a sudden, Ron Paul comes along and says, give me that domain. And if you don't, I'm calling the IP police.
Okay. And here's my closing statement. I checked, and the real RonPaul.com is available. Some fiend, if you care at all about Ron Paul or this fight, I think you should spend the $10 and register the real RonPaul.com. Immediately write a letter to his people and say, I will give you this free. Don't even charge the $10 that it would cost you to do it. Give it to him free.
They won't want it, man. They won't want it. The RonPaul.com people try to give them RonPaul.org, which is closer to RonPaul.com than the real RonPaul.com.
Well, what I was going to do yesterday was I tried to register BenStone.com, and then I was going to offer to sell it to Ben for $800,000. Not to prove a point or anything, just I would have put, like, Ben, what's really going on the domain or something, and then sent it to him. But he said it wasn't available, and he said he's been trying to get it for 10 years because there's so many people with that name that they keep registering it when it expires before he does. So anyway, we are well over our time here, and Ben Stone, I love you. No homo, and come home soon. We need you.
All right. Peace and worms and fiends.
This is dedicated to to our Ben Stones serving out of state. Support the Ben Troop, Worms.
Support the Stones,
Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Freedom Fiends Radio. Click on the blue listen link at freedomfiends.com, streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that includes endorphins. No, I won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.